Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, church. My name's Stan. If you're here for the first time, I'm excited that you're here. If you're online and you're watching for the first time, thanks for taking that risk. Glad that you're in the house. Glad you're online. Glad you joined us today for some conflict. Are you ready for some conflict? All right, this is how I fight my battles, right? All those things. Hey, we don't have to look too far in our world to see conflict, do we? We see wars around the place. And that's just the political situation in the U.S., right? Somebody got that. The rest of you get it a little bit later. And conflict is out there everywhere. But what about when it comes to our personal lives? You know, this morning I came in, and as my habit is, on Sunday mornings while the worship team's doing their thing, getting ready, I have my own worship service while I'm straightening the chairs, right? And praying over the chairs. And this morning, I felt a lot of conflict rising up inside of me. Because you see the little QR codes on the back of the chair in front of you? Most of you don't. And that's because some little gremlins from the school next door comes in and they peel those things off. Oh, conflict. What am I going to do with that conflict? See, just that word can raise our blood pressure, right? Because it's not something that most of us actually enjoy, but we've all been there. We're stuck in a heated moment where we're misunderstood, we're frustrated by the other person's point of view or how they're seeing our point of view. And conflict has a way of making our relationships slip into places that we never expected. Over the last month, we've been talking about relation slips, and we started by talking about communication, and then we talked about expectations, we talked about vulnerability and humility, and then last week, we talked about balancing our priorities. And if you missed any of those messages, you can go to our website, to our YouTube channel, to our app, all those places, and you can watch it again and again for all of eternity until Jesus comes back. And then there'll probably be something else for you to do then, I imagine. But today, we are talking about conflict. Does anybody like conflict? Come on, be honest. Be honest. There's a couple of shy hands, but you're afraid of creating conflict if you raise it too high, right? Most of us don't like conflict. We don't wake up in the morning saying, okay, where can I go to find some conflict today? At least I hope that's you. But we all have a different relationship with it. And even as I just said that, yesterday I was talking to someone and I was saying, oh, no, no. Well, people don't go looking for conflict. They don't like to have conflict. But I found out this person, they just smiled sheepishly kind of, and they got a twinkle in their eye and they said, some of us like to stir up conflict. Right? Anybody relate to that? Right? We're taking names. Right? You're not allowed at the Church Life Gathering on the 18th. Right? yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? You know, some people are instigators. Some engage with it, like the bumper video that you just saw where somebody calls out that you didn't clean the kitchen right, and they're just going on and on about that. Other people are avoiders. Take a look at this alternative way of dealing with conflict. Some people want to take it head on. Some people want to avoid it and just pretend it's not there and we ignore the text messages. By the way, if you look at your phone and you're text messaging someone like 10 to 1 of theirs, that might be your situation. Other people, they're not avoiding it, but we can flip that around. And do you love the people that just go quiet and you know something's wrong And if you say, and I see people looking at each other right now, you say, oh, is everything okay? Is something wrong? And they say, no, everything's fine, right? And you say, I've been married to you for 35 years, and I know something's wrong, but they're not willing to talk about it, right? You know those kinds of people as well. You know, we all deal with conflict in our own way, and sometimes that has to do with our personality. But what is the right way to deal with conflict? Or is there a right way to deal with conflict? Some of you think, it's easy. Let's just eliminate conflict. Well, I would suggest to you that's not possible. You can't just eliminate it because conflict is inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. It is going to happen. So what we really need to know how to do is how to fight fair. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today is how can we fight fair when it comes to conflict? Because conflict is not the enemy. How we handle it is, because mismanaged conflict ends up in the relation slips and disagreement that lead to deep divides. So today we're going to jump in and we're going to see how we can handle conflict in a healthy way. But sadly, in the day and age that we live in, and probably for all the centuries before, I do need to make a disclaimer. If you are in a relationship where conflict escalates to a place of abuse or violence, that is not okay. I'm going to be talking about healthy conflict and how we can deal with it in healthy ways. But if you're in that situation, it's not okay. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how you can deal with that in a healthy way. You want to deal with that in a healthy way, get out, okay? If you're getting abused, you're a punching bag or something like that, get out of that situation. So that's my disclaimer. Sorry to bring it down, but I had to say that so that I don't get misquoted and people say that, oh, I'm saying conflict is good and that we should beat each other and all that kind of stuff, because that is not okay. So we're going to go back to the letter we looked at last week where the Apostle Paul was talking to believers in the church at Ephesus. And he said this in Ephesians chapter 4, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. See, right away, I told you Paul's dealing with relationships in Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5. Well, right away he's telling us this, that we need to recognize conflict as an opportunity. We need to recognize it as an opportunity. See, conflict isn't the issue. It's how we approach it that makes or breaks relationships. Certainly, conflict can be an obstacle in our relationships, and it can blow up relationships. But handled properly, it can be an opportunity for our growth and the strengthening of our relationships. See, when we face conflict, our initial instinct is usually one of two things. Either we want to react defensively, and we want to take it on, or we want to avoid it. Those are a couple of options. But God invites us to see conflict differently. What if we saw conflict kind of like a mirror, where the conflict is there, and then all of a sudden we stop, and we look into the conflict and look at it as a mirror, and it can start reflecting back all the stuff that's going on inside of us. It's a revealer. And it can show us the areas that we need to be maybe growing in. Maybe we need to grow in patience or deepen our understanding of ourselves or the other person. Maybe we need to develop stronger character. Maybe we need to be more loving and gracious. And conflict can actually reveal that to us. It's also a pathway to strengthening our relationships, because being able to work through hard things makes relationships stronger. Anybody ever experienced that? Where you're working through a hard thing and you think, oh my goodness, this is awful, this is terrible, this is going to blow up our relationship forever, and you actually work through it maturely and the relationship's stronger? Conflict can do that. Think about exercise, going to the gym, and praise God, right now my gym has been closed for like a week and a half and it's going to be closed for another week, and I love that built-in excuse for not going to the gym. Just like physical resistance, like lifting weights, builds muscle in our bodies, emotional resistance in our relationships, conflict can build maturity. It can increase the maturity. It can make us stronger when we handle things with a spirit of humility. See, when we reframe conflict as an opportunity rather than an obstacle, then you and I have the opportunity to grow. We have the opportunity to move from avoidance and from defensiveness to a space of growth. We can view it as a pathway to growth instead of a roadblock for our growth. See, conflict's not something just to get through. If we embrace it as an opportunity, it can actually help us become more and more like Jesus, who was a great example of how to deal with conflict continually. I love all the stories of how Jesus, he had a little bit of conflict in his life, always being attacked and everything. And generally speaking, he was amazing. He could diffuse the situation, but then send people running because they realized who they were because of the things he would say to them. So next time you feel that tension rising, when you feel the conflict raising up, take a deep breath and remind yourself, this is an opportunity to grow. In patience, in love, in grace, in understanding. And ask yourself the question, hey, before I avoid or before I respond, before I react to this situation, how can I grow through it? Stop and ask yourself that. See, in a different letter to a church in Colossae, it's called the Book of Colossians, same writer, and I reckon he actually had a great editor and he cut and pasted some stuff from some letters. If you read some of the letters that Paul wrote, they're almost the same. In Colossians chapter 3, he says this, "Clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults." Sound familiar? "And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." See, conflict gives us an opportunity to grow. And if we are going to grow through the conflict, we need to see conflict as that opportunity to extend grace, not hold grudges. See how that works? If conflict is an opportunity for us to grow, one way we're going to do that is we're going to learn to extend grace and not hold grudges. I like to say, replace grumpy with grace, right? So if you're getting grumpy in the conflict, say, okay, is there space for grace here? Is there a way I can be gracious? Because see, holding grudges locks you and I in the past. And that past creates bitterness that actually poisons the present. Don't let the past poison the present because you're holding a grudge. The present has nothing to do with that thing in the past that you've held a grudge for, and you need to let go of that. Instead of letting anger simmer, maybe commit to exercising forgiveness so that you don't hold that grudge. Now, more next week on forgiveness. Pastor Charlie's going to school us on that and help us all become better forgivers, so I won't keep going there. But in Philippians chapter 2, again, another letter that Paul wrote, he says this, "Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too." See, if we're going to grow through conflict, we need to see conflict as an opportunity to practice humility in the heat of tension. When the tension is rising up, when the conflict is confronting us, we have an opportunity right then to say, hang on, my pride is kicking in here. I'm ready to take this on. I'm ready to be defensive. But I also have an opportunity to be humble. I have an opportunity not to take this on and give them what they deserve. I can be humble and say, hey, hang on a minute. I'm going to pause. I'm going to look at it from the other person's perspective. I'm going to view them as better than myself and take an interest in their position on this thing rather than just create more conflict. See, choosing humility will diffuse the tension there and open the door for understanding. You know, the Bible actually speaks to this. The wisest person that ever lived, Solomon, wrote in Proverbs chapter 15, this, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare." Conflict is coming. It's inevitable. When it comes, can you give a gentle answer? Can you shock the person that's wanting that conflict, that's taking you on and creating conflict right there with you? Can you shock them by giving them a gentle answer? Solomon says that's going to deflect the anger. But if you meet it head on with harsh words right back at them, then it's going to make tempers flare. It's just going to keep escalating. So see, before reacting, we need to pause. Maybe even pray. And a prayer doesn't have to be a long prayer with your eyes closed on your knees. It can be, help me, God, in this conflict right now. That's a prayer. And then you can pause and see if there's room for a grace-filled response. So conflict needs to be seen as an opportunity rather than an obstacle. And when it comes to the people involved, get this one now, okay? When it comes to the people, do not ever, there wasn't enough room on the slide to write all of this, view the other person as the opposition. Don't view the other person as the opposition. One of our pastors actually affectionately calls their spouse the leader of the opposition. You know, and it's funny, it's a joke and everything, and we love that. But see, when there's a conflict, our natural tendency is to see the other person as the opposition, to see the other person as the problem. It's game on. And now we have to defeat the opposition. Any competitive people in the room, any competitive people online, right? And we see that opportunity. Here's an opportunity. There's a conflict. I can win this. Game on. I'm taking you down. I'm going to win. And if you remember from a few weeks ago, if you're fighting with your spouse and you win, what are you married to then, right? A loser, right? Right? You forgot that quickly. When someone disagrees with you, you know, we always often take it personally, because what happens is we have ideas, we have thoughts, and when someone challenges our idea, they disagree with our idea, we have attached that idea to our identity. That idea we've allowed to define us. Same thing, our position on something, our political position or whatever, we allow that to become our person. So when someone attacks our position or someone questions our idea, then all of a sudden we feel like they've attacked us as a person. And then what do we have? We have conflict, major conflict, rather than leaving this out here. Oh, you think differently about my idea. See, we need to understand that people are not the problem. The problem is the problem. Too often we personify the problem and make it about the person, but it's not about the person, it's about the problem. See, God calls us to value people over the problems, to put people first. Imagine how differently we would respond. Instead of attacking the person, we focused on the problem. If someone brings something to you, and instead of getting defensive because you think they're attacking you as a person, you say, oh, here's the problem. Let's put the problem here, and let's both go after the problem, right? We can find resolution then. We can find at least reconciliation then. See, humility steps in and says, hey, this isn't personal. This is about a problem, not the person. Look again at the letter Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in our hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. When we recognize that people aren't the problem, people are not the opposition, then we can actually aim for peace over personal victory. We can aim for peace. That can be the goal. That's what Paul's telling the Colossians there. Our goal in conflict should be to pursue peace, not to win, not to prove our point. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. See, reconciliation is about restoring relationships, not proving a point, not winning an argument. See, pursuing peace does not mean that we're going to always get the outcome that we want. And the problem actually may not even get resolved to the place that we would like it or the other person would like it. Sometimes peace means letting go of your need to be right or of your need to convince the other person to see things your way. I am working so hard with Pastor Inike about his affinity to Collingwood. Okay? I want him to see the light. I pray for him. And I give him all the reasons. But at the end of the day, we're not going to resolve that. But we're going to have a relationship anyway. Now, that sounds silly, right? And that is a silly example. But that's how conflict works. And if we can choose to say, you know, I'm not going to change your mind about your political affiliation. I'm not going to change your mind about how you decide to raise your kids versus how I raise my kids or what you think about this or that or the other. But you know what? That's just a thing over here. You're a person, and I love you, I value you, and I want you to feel the same way to me, right? See how beautiful that can be? It says, do all that you can. Choosing peace often means putting aside our pride, taking that humble approach, and it requires us to sacrifice a willingness to trust God is at work, even if we don't see immediate resolution. And with that, we need to seek reconciliation over resolution. Reconciliation needs to be way more important than resolving the problem, okay? Because we need the relationship reconciled. God values reconciliation above restoration. This doesn't mean that when you've had conflict, especially major conflict in a relationship, it doesn't mean that the relationship is always going to look exactly like it did before. I've lived enough years and been through enough times of conflict where we actually do still work things out, but realize that, okay, it's not exactly the same anymore. But we still do more than coexist. We still love each other and care about each other. See, when we shift our focus from winning to creating peace, when we're seeking reconciliation over resolution, we open the door for healing. We open the door for unity and hope. See, in every conflict, choose to build a bridge, not a wall, and ask, will my response to this, is my response to what that person just said, is my response going to bring us closer together or push us further apart? That's a healthy way to deal with conflict. In your next disagreement, consider what a peaceful outcome might look like. Ask God to give you a heart that values the person over the argument. Say, am I willing to sacrifice or let go of my need for being right for the sake of peace? Colossians 3 again. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. In the end, we need to let love lead the way. Let love lead the way. Let our love for that person overshadow the conflict, be bigger than the problem. Our love for each other needs to be bigger than the problem. See, love is the foundation for lasting peace. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 13 says about love. It's patient, kind. Love's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. If we let love lead the way through conflict, we won't see people as the opposition. We're going to say, hey, how can I love them through this situation that we're dealing with together? We need to approach every conflict with that mindset of love and not about keeping score, not about winning. Aim for harmony. In Genesis chapter 13, we see a beautiful example of how to deal with conflict. Genesis chapter 13, a little story about Abraham and his nephew. It says, Lot, who was traveling with Abraham, had also become very wealthy with flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. But the land could not support both Abraham and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abraham said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll take the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, I'll go to the left. See, Abraham and his nephew Lot had both become very prosperous. They had lots of cattle, lots of sheep, lots of stuff, and lots of servants, herdsmen, those things. And as their flocks kept multiplying, the land they were living in was not big enough. They couldn't coexist there. And the herdsmen were starting to fight. Tensions were growing. And Abraham, at this point, he could have said, hang on a minute, I'm your uncle. I'm older than you. I'm an elder statesman here. God has promised me the land and everything and all that. So I have every right. We've got a conflict here and you lose. He could have said that. And he would have been right. But what did he do as he saw this conflict brewing? Well, he chose peace over possession. He chose peace over possession. He saw that emerging dispute between the herdsmen and he saw the opportunity. He saw the opportunity here to prioritize peace. He identified the problem. He saw it. He said, hey, guess what's going on over here? This is conflict, and this shouldn't be. And he didn't use his status to his advantage. Instead, he made it clear. He said, this conflict can't come between us because we are close relatives. I value my relationship with you, Lot, more than I value me taking over all the land here. I value the relationship. He valued peace over claiming his rights. And then, you see, the next thing he did, he practiced humility in the solution that he suggested. He said, you choose. Wow. Again, Abraham has the right to whatever he wants. And he said, all right, Lot, that's definitely the best land. I'm taking that. I'll leave you over here. You can figure that out. That would have been a not wrong response. But it wouldn't have been a response that's trying to not see the other person as the opposition and looking at the opportunity to have peace in the relationship. See, culturally, that would have been rare for the younger or the older one to give the younger the choice. But Abraham's humility showed something. It showed not that he was just a nice guy, but that he was trusting God. Because God had said, I'm going to give you all the land, wherever your feet may go, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. He had those promises, and he knew that this conflict right now is not going to thwart God's plan. He trusted God that in that moment, if he resolved the conflict by being humble and allowing Lot to choose, that God was still going to take care of him. He trusted God to take care of him. So what? What do we do with all this today? Well, conflict does not have to lead to a relation slip. It does not have to. Too often it does. But when we handle it with grace, we build a foundation of trust and respect and love that keeps our relationship strong. So let's commit ourselves to fighting fair, to seeing conflict as an opportunity for our own growth. It's not something to be avoided. It's an opportunity to strengthen. See it as an opportunity to extend grace rather than hold grudges. See it as an opportunity to practice humility in the heat of the conflict. And don't ever view people as the opposition. People are not the problem. The problem is the problem. Take that home with you today. Pursue peace over personal victory every time. And then focus on reconciliation rather than resolution. It's more important. See, conflict is inevitable. We started with that. But peace is intentional. And it'll be hard work. But your relationships will be stronger because of it. And you will grow because of it. Fighting fair is not about avoiding conflict. It's about handling it in a way that honors God and strengthens our relationships. So this week, I want to challenge you to commit to handling just one conflict differently. And by the way, you're going to have conflict before this day is over. You may have conflict before lunchtime. Commit yourself to just one. You don't have to handle all the conflicts this way, this week. It'd be nice. But choose one and decide, you know what? I'm going to give grace when I could hold a grudge. Or I'm going to listen without needing to be right. Or I'm going to choose reconciliation over division in this circumstance. I want to invite you to stand. And as you consider all that we've talked about today, as we consider conflict, the take home for you today is this. With God's help, I will grow through conflict. I'll strengthen my relationships by valuing the person over the problem. I hope that's your heart today. As you go away today, I'm going to say that one more time and let this sink in. Let it sink into your head. And then I would beg you to even offer it up as a prayer to ask God to help you do this. With God's help, I will grow through conflict and strengthen relationships by valuing people over the problem. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for enduring conflict with us. And Lord, you responded to the conflict that we create in love, in grace. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. And Lord, help us to recognize what you've done for us. Help us see the examples and the admonitions that we have in your word from people that have gone before us, from wise people like Solomon and from the Apostle Paul, from the Abraham and Lot example. Help us to deal with conflict in a healthy way, Lord. Help us not to avoid. Help us not to be defensive, but help us embrace the opportunity we have to grow. And help us, Lord, to not view people as the problem. Help us to together attack problems and not each other. In Jesus' name, amen.